Blog Talk Radio.
Design radio show, and I am so happy to spend this next 30 minutes with you. We are coming down to the wire. And I am talking about the year. This year has four more months to go, if you can believe that. So we are more than halfway through, and I absolutely personally can't believe that the year has gone by so fast, but it has. And time goes by whether we are ready or not. So that's why we always try to bring you the very best topics and the very best guests here on the Living by Design show. And this evening is no different because there is a topic. We've actually been focusing on the relationship series for the past several weeks. And there is a topic or a question that seems to be on the lips and the minds of everyone all over the world. I have been getting this question from so many people. How can I get beyond a previous relationship where I did not get closure? The relationship broke up. I have no idea why, and I don't know how to move on, or I don't know what to resolve within myself because I don't know what went wrong. So I am not going to tackle that alone. I am going to bring a very special guest on the line here that's going to just really dissect and dive into this topic. And her name is Ms. Susan Elliott. She's a relationship coach and a psychologist, and she has a remarkable program and a book entitled Getting Past Your Past. And I am going to go ahead and bring Susan on the line here so that we can start this great discussion. Susan, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you.
Well, wonderful. I'm so happy to hear it. Now, I know you're up there on the East Coast, so I have to ask you how everything is going for you and your family as far as the remnants of the hurricane.
Well, I'm actually going back home tonight after being without power for 4 days.
Oh, wow. Really? Okay.
Yeah, it was very difficult to assess that, you know, anything was going to happen because immediately after the storm, it seemed like, you know, it was no big deal. And then all the trees started coming down and the flooding started and everybody started losing power. So I'm going to be able to go home tonight, and I'm really going to be glad to be sleeping in my own bed.
I know you are. And it's those type of small things. Now, that's really not a small thing. It's a major thing because a hurricane is serious. But it's those types of things that we have to embrace and be excited about and just really get pumped and geeked about is, you know, something as simple as sleeping in your own bed. Because I travel a lot, and I know exactly what you're saying. Just to get back to your own bed is a major feat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know if you heard the intro or not, but I am anxious to dive into this topic because I have been getting so many questions about this one particular area. And we've been focusing on relationships for the past several weeks, and I just continually get this question asked of me so much in email notes and people posted on my website, my blog, and on Facebook and everything, wanting to know how they can get past their past. And so I was so excited when I saw your work and your profile because it just totally described exactly what I'm looking for with this discussion. And let's just go ahead and jump right in here, and I'm going to let you kick it off with just, you know, some intro information for everyone who wrote in and asked that question. How can I get past my past when I don't know what went wrong? I don't know if it was me, and if it was me, I don't know what I need to fix or anything like that. So no closure. What do you do?
Okay, well, that's actually a big topic of mine, and I actually talk about it in the part of my book is Getting Past Your Breakup. It's a subsidy, basically, of the Getting Past Your Past program, but the book is Getting Past Your Breakup, and one of the things that people talk about all the time is contacting their ex. That's a big, big issue with people, and I have a chapter in the book called The Rules of Disengagement, meaning you have to go no contact with your ex in order to move on. And one of the excuses that people tell me all the time is, well, I have to have closure. And what I tell them is you need to find closure from within yourself. You don't need to keep going back to your ex and asking, what did I do wrong? How did I do it wrong? Why did you tell me you loved me and now you're gone? Why did you tell me you'd always be here and now you're not? It just seems like if people keep asking those questions over and over, whether to themselves or to the ex, they're just going to drive themselves completely crazy. And I tell people that they have to accept that they may have to close the chapter without any answers, without any explanations, and without input from somebody else. And that you not only can survive without the answers, but it's probably in your best interest to not have the answers. You know, if somebody says to you, well, you know, I don't love you anymore because, you know, last Tuesday you forgot to put the cap on the toothpaste, you know, or something to that effect. Whatever they say to you, it's not going to satisfy you. You're going to argue with them. You're going to say, I didn't mean to, or I could do better. Whatever it is you're going to say, that's not going to be closure. That's going to keep giving you more things to obsess about. And, you know, your ex could also choose to ignore you completely. You know, say, I don't want to talk to you, or I've moved on. I have a new love in my life, and I don't want to deal with you. And that's just going to make you feel worse. You know, you're going to feel crushed, and you're going to feel like, you know, that definitely was not closure. You know, that was just your ex getting to take another swipe at you at a time when you're really vulnerable and hurting. And at some point, you just have to accept that it is what it is, and you may not understand exactly what went on. Everything that's going on now may be the opposite of what you were told. But, you know, you have to remember that people, you know, every single day, you know, vow to love, honor, and cherish the other, and then they get divorced at some point down the line. So you can't continually obsess over what was said, what was promised. You have to look at what's going on today, and that you have the responsibility to move on, and that responsibility is to yourself. And you might not ever get the answers that you want. You might never get the explanations that you keep saying that you need to have. And I put forth that you don't need to have them. That's just another excuse to kind of stay stuck in the past.
And I'm going to go to the other end of the spectrum. You're absolutely right, Susan, in that, you know, you may get something from your ex that's on the negative, that, you know, well, I don't love you anymore because you did this or you didn't do that. But there also may be the other extreme where your ex may say, there's nothing wrong.
Right.
And that's confusing. Well, there's nothing wrong. You know, everything is fine. I haven't moved on. I don't have a new love. I'm just dealing with some things. So that's not going to tell you anything either. So, I mean, it's either going to be hurtful or confusing.
Right. And the thing is that a lot of people, I don't know if I talk about this in the book or not, but I know that I talk about it either on my blog or in the book or in some seminar somewhere. I've actually heard that situation before. And people have said they didn't leave me for another person. They left me for nothing. Like, basically, nothing is better than me. And that's a really hurtful place to be. And if the ex says that, you know, nothing's wrong. You know, you were great. We were great. I just, you know, want to be by myself or whatever. That's not going to bring you any kind of closure.
And even whichever way the conversation may go, whether the ex says, you because you're not good enough, or even if it, the ex says, I just want to be by myself, you're right. You're not going to get the answer you want to hear, which is, okay, well, I do love you, so let's try again. Obviously, the breakup happened for a reason. Now, you know, you are the best person. You are the best, I hate to use the word judge, but, you know, I'll use that word. You are the best judge of yourself, of who you are and whose you are and what you are. And there's no one else outside of yourself that can tell you what you to improve on or what you need to enhance about yourself, what you need to resolve about yourself. Only you can tell yourself that you know all of the piece parts of the relationship. You know all the good, all the bad. You know everything about the relationship. So you're right. You really ought to be able to do that within your own spirit, within your own mind.
Right, and I think that, you know, in I know that what I do in my book, and, you know, I do this in seminars as well, I have what's called a relationship inventory, and it basically puts it out there. Like, this is what I did wrong, this is what they did wrong, this is, and by going through the inventory in a somewhat objective way, because there's the very definite questions to answer, and, you know, things to look at, when you go through that, you can see your part in it. And you can say, do I need to change this? You know, was I jealous? Was I clingy? Was I whiny? You know, do I need to change this? And not for someone to love you, but for you to be okay with yourself and your role in any relationship that you're in, including friendship, family, you know, whatever. A breakup is really a good time to do a self-assessment and say, how can I make myself be a better person? Because pain is a great motivator. And it's always when, you know, when we're in pain that we want to look at things and see, you know, what we can do better.
Right. And I just want to ask you this question because I know this came up quite a bit in some of the email notes that I received. And I just kind of came up with this on my own because I've seen this quite a bit, and I know it exists. I just don't know what the technical name for it is. But there are a lot of people in this world who are, I guess, what I would call relationship junkies, relationship addicts.
Right.
In the beginning of the relationship, there is an excitement, an infatuation phase where you're just obsessed with the person and you can't think of anything else. You can't be without them. You just have to have, and that's really not love.
No.
That's actually, I don't know what that is, but whatever that is, it's up to you. It's up to the individual to realize that that's new. That's something new, exciting, and once that phase wears off, then you can do a thorough assessment. Then you can do a relationship inventory of yourself and the individual. Are they meeting the requirements that my standards for a relationship? And if they're not and those red flags are there, stop ignoring them.
Right, right, exactly.
You should be able to tell early on if so or if not, the person is the one that would make a good mate for you.
Right, and I see people do that all the time. Like, I always talk about standards, and I talk about red flags.
Absolutely.
And I talk about, yeah, you know what you want and know what's acceptable and unacceptable. But then I see people, you know, they find somebody who, you know, makes the heart go pitter-patter, and they start ignoring those red flags. And they start, you know, eroding their own standards. And that's where, you know, you really have to stick fast to those things, and you didn't go through all this pain and all the self-discovery, you know, just to throw it all out the window when somebody comes along that makes your palms sweat.
Exactly. I have so many clients, ladies, I hate to pick on the ladies, but so many clients who come to me in their mid-40s or sometimes even early 50s, and they've never been married, and they are just so desperate to get married that they lower their standards, they take whatever, totally ignore the red flags and the signs, knowing that the guy is not marriage material, he's not even interested in marriage. Look at his relationship history, the patterns, You know that's not the one, yet they jump in there anyway. They become intimate, and we all know that once a woman becomes intimate with a man, she releases those oxytocin. I forget what the chemical is.
Right.
The bonding chemical. And
right.
She's bonded to him, and then she starts trying to harass him and change him and force him into marriage. And it's kind of like you've already self-sabotaged yourself and the relationship knowing that this person was not marriage material.
Right, exactly. And that's what people seem to do all the time. They seem to just take the first person that comes along that seems like, not even a good fit, but like a fairly decent fit, you know, and then they try to basically hammer them into the person that they want them to be.
Yeah, they try to fit a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah, and people will sometimes, you know, go along with you for a while, but eventually their real person will come out, and it will be incompatible with the real person you are. And then you're in the situation that you didn't expect to be in, or you should have expected to be in if you would have followed, you know, the signs in the beginning.
And I have had a lot of clients, and you know, I hate to pick on females, but I hear it mostly from females, but I've had a lot of clients that say, well, I would rather be married, because I was in a very difficult, painful marriage. It was, you know, very verbally abusive, and I have told them that, you know, it wasn't a good marriage, and the comment they would make to me, well, at least you were married. At least you were married, even though it was bad, and even though it was not productive, and it, you know, really, you know, hate to say it wasted my life, because it didn't, because I learned quite a bit from it. Anytime you learn something and take away from a relationship, then I say there was some level of success there. But just for them to say, well, at least you were married, at least he married you, okay, well.
But you, I mean.
That's not a victory.
Yeah, it's like you can, you know, if you want to marry a loser, you know, go knock yourself out. I mean, people do it every day. You know, and the thing is that you have to, and I talk to people about this all the time, you have to decide that being alone is better than being mistreated. And until you decide that, like, you're just going to keep being mistreated.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I always say, and it's been said by many people, that you teach others how to treat you.
Right.
If you allow a certain type of behavior, then that's what's going to occur. And you teach people how to treat you. You would think, or I know this is how I have governed myself. The relationships that I've had in the past, they've been challenging, and they've been, they haven't been the best in the world, I'll just say that. But instead of me focusing on what went wrong, I try to focus on the lessons that I learned and the takeaways. And the lessons that I learned and the takeaways are absolutely like gold for me. I mean, it's so valuable. They're valuable life lessons. Now, if I turn around and implement, well, we know what the definition of insanity is. It's to keep the same way and expecting a different result.
Right.
So we have to take our lessons and learn from that and know that that's just, it comes to our life to help us to be better and not bitter.
Right, exactly. And I think that you know, the thing that people, you know, also need to do is to make a commitment to themselves before they make a commitment to somebody else, and to realize that, you know, it's okay to be alone. And I think that, you know, I deal with people lots of times around the holidays or Valentine's Day or whatever, and they just get into this couple-oriented mode where they think that every couple is happy, and every couple is not happy. So if you just want to be in any couple, it doesn't matter what you're made up of. It doesn't matter if you're happy with each other, if the other person's a loser, abusive, or whatever. You can have that. I mean, anybody can have that. But if you actually have some pride in yourself and you care about yourself, you'll realize that the only thing that matters is that you have the person that treats you the way you deserve to be treated. And it doesn't matter if the whole world is coupled. You know, a lot of those couples are going to break up, or they're not happy, or they're just not in the type of relationship you want to be in.
Yeah, exactly. I have a young lady in the chat room who made a comment that said at the beginning of her relationship with her now husband, it was very rocky, even though they're okay now. But sometimes those issues and feelings resurge in her, and she asks herself the questions, God, why didn't I do this, or why did I do that, leave him, et cetera, can't get past the should has. And that's another issue that we all struggle with and a lot of people suffer with, that you constantly ask yourself, why didn't I? Why shouldn't I? And I even went through that in my marriage. You know, why did I do this? You know, I saw the red flags in the beginning and I did it anyway. And, you know, why am I still here? After 10, 15 years, I should have been gone a long time. You know, we do that. If I should have, could have, would have.
Right. And I think that sometimes sometimes that's a good thing. You know, sometimes it's like you really have to stop and take inventory, do an assessment, say, you know, am I here for the wrong reason? Should I be here? Should I think about getting out? You know, what should I be doing? And other times it's like you just have to accept it for what it was. You know, like I spent a long time in an abusive relationship because I didn't know any better. You know, I didn't know that I didn't know. And when I got out, I had to stop, like, you know, blaming myself and feeling guilty about, you know, having my kids in this situation. It was what it was, and I was getting better. And, you know, that's, you know, I needed to accept it after a while and accept that, you know, that the antidote to that is to do better in life.
And, you know, Susan, that's so true. You brought up something that I want to kind of touch on a bit. You said, you know, sometimes we don't know better. And there are a lot of people who have no clue what a successful relationship actually looks like. Their parents didn't have one. Maybe they came from single-parent homes. Maybe they didn't have a good relationship with their fathers or their mothers, or, you know, maybe they were raised by a grandparent that, you know, did the best that they could because they were older. And maybe they have no clue what it looks like. So in a case like that, how can they even know what to do or what to fix or what to change, because they don't know what a successful relationship consists of?
Well, that's usually one of the, you know, learning processes when you go through, you know, a bad breakup, and you have to try to figure out, like, what, you know, it's like what I tell people all the time is love is an action. It's what you do. It's not what you say. If someone treats you like they love you, then they love you. You know it's good. And if it hurts, you know, stop the pain. You just have to stop repeating the cycles that have gotten you into, you know, all of the personal pain that you've been in. And that's why I tell people to step back. Don't worry about getting in another relationship. You have to look at what's gone wrong. And in, you know, another thing that I do in my book is I give a life inventory, which is what you're talking about, the bad relationships, the bad role models. You go through and you look at how many relationships that you've had in adult life really mimic the relationships that you had early on with caretakers. You know, if you were abused, you're gonna be attracted to abusers. You know, if you were criticized all the time, you're gonna be attracted to people who criticize you. You're gonna gravitate toward what you know, even if what you know is bad. And it really takes work, where you have to go back and you have to look at your patterns, you have to recognize them, and you have to start working through some of the relationships where you've had those issues.
Right. Right. We have a question in the chat room from Mike, and Mike wants to know, is a man or a woman more likely to walk away without saying why?
I think it's probably a man. Women like to talk about why. Women like to talk about, you know, this is why I'm leaving you, and, you know, this is, you know, everything's going on. Unless it's an abusive situation, then a lot of times a woman will just get up and leave when it's finally, you know, time to go. But in non-abusive situations, just where a relationship is bad, I'd say it's probably men. You know, they don't like to talk about a lot of things, or sometimes a lot of men will say that they wanted to talk about it, but they felt like they were going to be grilled, you know, like, well, how could you say this? Like we were talking about at the very beginning of the conversation, you know, we go back through everything and you start questioning, and they don't want to be, you know, sort of like on the defensive.
Well, you know, now that brings up another question. So let's say that there is a situation and the man does walk away without saying why, but there was nothing wrong. The woman was just kind of left blindsided because everything was going great. It was the best relationship of her life. He said it was the best relationship of his life, but he just ups and walk away, and then months down the road, he comes back. What is a woman to do?
Well,
ask for that closure or just, you know, say, hey, go away, or just pick up where they left off?
Well, I think that the decision has got to be, do you really want to be with somebody who does that? I mean, that would be my first question to anybody. You know, how are you going to be secure in this relationship knowing that this person is capable of doing this? You know, are you going to sit there waiting for the other shoe to drop all the time? Can you get past it? You know, do you need to go to counseling? Do you need to talk to each other? I mean, what do you need to do to get back into the relationship? And do you want to? You know, do you want to be with somebody who did this to you? No matter how good it was before they did it, they did it. You know, and it's like you might not want to sit there waiting for the other shoe to drop, or you might not be capable of being secure in this relationship. You're going to be a nervous wreck all the time. You know, if you want to live like that, you know, that's your choice, but it has to be a choice.
Right, absolutely. Now, let me back up for a minute, Susan, because I love what you said about love is a verb. It's an action word. I love that. So let's just say that you're in a relationship, and let's say it's someone who doesn't know what a successful relationship looks like. They have not had that in, that opportunity to see that in their childhood or in their young years. What would you describe as the action of love? How does that look? How should they be treated? What type of treatment should they be looking for to know that that individual loves them?
I think that when you're looking at somebody who respects you, who cares about you, but not to the extent that they give themselves up, I think that two people who love each other and show each other that both have self-respect, and that leads to mutual respect. And it's somebody who cares about you like you're on the same side. You know, it's somebody, when you talk about having a life partner, that's what you want. You want a partner. You want somebody who will be able to be with you through good times and bad times, and who will, you know, if they have a bad day, they're not going to come home and yell at you over it. You know, you're going to be their partner. You're going to be the person that makes, you know, their life feel better, and they're going to be the person that makes your life feel better. And what I tell people is a good relationship enlarges your life. It doesn't narrow it. And you'll see that in a lot of relationships. You know, you can't have friends, you can't do this, you can't do that. You come home, people are yelling at you. It makes your life smaller. A good relationship makes your life bigger. You can go out, you can have friends, you can live your life, you don't have to worry, you know. And I think that that's really the difference in a good relationship and a bad relationship. If somebody is supportive of you and cares about you and isn't, like, picking on you for things, your life is going to be larger. It's going to be fuller. And you're going to be able to do...
I'll throw the word compromise in there that, you know, it's not all about just one person. If both individuals are willing to, you know, share and it's all about one or the other.
Right, and that's, I mean, you know, sometimes you have to take turns. You know, sometimes, like, you know, this person's getting a big promotion, you have to be in the background going rah, 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 and then it'll be your turn, you know. But a lot of times it is compromise, you know. It is, okay, you like to do that, I like to do this. Okay, you go off and do that, and I'll go off and do this, and then we'll come together and we'll go out to the movies on Saturday night, you know. It's like a lot of people just try to kind of, you know, kidnap the other person, take them hostage, and not really let them, you know, be their own person, and then they're always trying to get out of the relationship.
Right, right. Well, we are coming up on the final 60 seconds of the show, and so very fast, and it has been wonderful. You have been a wealth of knowledge.
Well, thank you.
Susan's website is gettingpast.com. Just the way it sounds, getting past, P-A-S-T, your past. Information about how to get in touch with Susan. Go to my website, send me an email with her because she is absolutely phenomenal in what she does. And we're going to have We're going to have you back on the show, Susan, but for now we're going to have to sign off and say goodnight, everyone. And we will see you same time next week on Living by Design.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you, everyone.